You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Monday, November 20th, 2023. You're listening to me, Grandpa Dan. We're streaming at Radio. I know we're already starting the week off with not being able to talk. RadioAlbion.com. I'm glad you could join us this week. As always, I want to start off reminding you, I got my Sven. We've got our Sven Longshank support links here on the description pages for the Daily Nationalist show. Your contact info. I don't have any updates. I don't know if he's even receiving mail yet, but I do encourage you to continue to try to reach out for him. It is, if you live in the U.S., this is the week of Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving will be this Thursday. I hope you get the opportunity to go out and see friends and family. Now, if you regular listener to the Daily Nationalist, and I assume you are, that's why you're tuned in. If you actually look at the description page, you may notice a little detail missing, and that is a link to the news article for today's story. It's because there isn't one. I'm doing something different. Today, I'm treating myself. You see, it's a holiday week, and I've decided to treat myself to something different, and hopefully it'll be a treat for you. In my opinion, this is just my opinion, y'all may think otherwise, I feel as though I struggle a little bit with the news article format of doing the Daily Nationalist show, you know, versus like my regular show, Parish of the Patriots, where we just freestyle it, basically. It's freestyle, and I just... Maybe it's because I find going through the news articles and commenting on it. I don't know. It just kind of runs against my style of just rambling. And in my opinion, I feel like I struggle with it a little bit. Now, it was always fine when Sven was here because it was more like me and him talking together back and forth with one another about the story. Sitting here solo and just, you know, talking about it and making commentary. I don't know. It's just... I have a hard time, but I'm doing something different. It's not like, you know, this is going to be how it is from here on. I just wanted to do something different today. I just feel like it. I'm just going to blame it on it's a holiday weekend here in the U.S. So I'm going to do something different today. And I think this will be fun. I hope you'll stick with me because I do think this will be fun. Now, I was talking about Thanksgiving. And like I say, hopefully a lot of y'all, you're able to go travel, maybe go see friends or maybe your family members. And if you're going to see like family members, because like some people, they do holidays. That's when they have family reunions. Now, way back in the day, we used to actually hold family reunions and somebody would organize it. Some relative would organize it and the word would get out. On this day, we've rented this civic center or church hall or whatever, and we're having our family reunion, and people would come, you know, people from your family would come from all over to attend the family reunion, see people they haven't seen in years, meet family members they've never met before. This happened when I was a kid, and I remember, you know, it was kind of weird to me because, I mean, like most of the people there, I had no idea who they were. Nobody does these anymore, by and large. And it's a shame because looking back on it, I realized that was something special. You know, people actually put the effort in to go and meet their family members, see their family members and, you know, come in contact with family they didn't even know they had and hear their stories and perspectives, what life was like for them and what they did for a living and just their views on the world. It's just another one of those things that we've lost. Well, whether you get together on Thanksgiving or whether you're old enough like me to remember family reunions, if maybe your family all gets together at Christmas or Thanksgiving, whatever the case may be, you are no doubt going to have elderly family members, you know, at various stages, you know, and you might have some really old family members. You might have a living great grandparent or whatever the case may be. And this got me thinking, and this brought me to have what I thought we would do for today's show, because I think it'd be funny. You know, we have the Joe Biden. We got Joe Biden is the alleged president of the country. And this, of course, leads to a lot of kind of honestly funny moments. Surely you've probably all seen it by now, but if you haven't, you've got to see the video. You know, Biden meets with President Xi of China, and he's at the news conference, and the reporters are asking him, you know, well, do you still think Xi is a dictator? And he's like, well, of course he is. And Blinken is sitting there just cringing and shaking his head like, no, stop. So it's really funny. But you have, of course, no shortage of these videos on the internet of Biden doing a lot of these different, shall we say, humorous things. Doddering around, lost on the stage. He doesn't know whether to put his hand on his heart or whether to put his hand down. He doesn't know if the ceremony's over and it's time to wander off or whatnot. And people make a lot of hay out of it, you know, because it's supposed to be the president of the United States. And people point at that and say, you know, oh, this is horrible, whatever. But, you know, really, in the context of things, I mean, he's just obviously, you know, pretty typical for somebody that age. What's not typical is somebody that age is working for a living. I mean, you imagine if you have somebody, a great grandparent or somebody in your family who's in their 80s, can you picture them working at all? Like even being a Walmart greeter, you can't probably picture they're too damn old. And yet Biden is supposedly not just working, he's working what would no doubt be one of, if not the highest stress job in the world in his 80s. Oh, come on. We know that's not realistic. I mean, that's just stating a fact. It's not realistic that this old man in his 80s is not only working, but working one of the most high stress jobs imaginable. Of course, you wind up with all of these conflicting messages coming out because you've got all these different people, none of whom are particularly competent, that are actually running things and then running their own agendas and having their own views. And there's nobody central to organize it because the quote unquote president is Joe Biden, which brings us to my fun part of the show I thought we would do for this particular show. And that is we're going to go through a day in the life of President Joe Biden. It is so sad in this country. I feel it is necessary to point out that this is humor. Nobody leaked me his secret schedule because I do. I'm doing this because I think it's funny and because I think it'll be more fun for me personally than sitting here reading a damn news story. But I honestly, you know it, and I know it, that this, as we go through a day in the life of Joe Biden, is going to be so probably spot on that it's not out of the realm of possibility that somebody in the White House would, like, be up in arms because it's like, somebody leaked the president's schedule! Somebody's leaked the president's schedule. And this guy on Radio Albion has made it to the public. It's a threat to national security, the Secret Service. I don't want to wake up tomorrow with the Secret Service banging on my door. I don't want to be having Thanksgiving with the Secret Service because they want to know where I got the president's schedule. Who leaked the president's schedule? Be all over the headlines. Be in the Daily Mail. Crazy. Radio Albion host Grandpa Dan somehow gets his hands on President Joe Biden's top secret service schedule. Day in the life of Joe Biden. So let's think about a day in the life of Joe Biden because he is in his 80s. So, of course, today's going to start off in the morning. Early, like really early, like probably like 4:30 in the morning earlier. Because, you know, there's this thing that, like, the older you get, we can all sit here and laugh, but the older you get, the more, you know, it turns into you're laughing at yourself. I'm in my mid to late 50s now, and, you know, I get up earlier than I did when I was 20. Yeah, I was 20, 21 years old, 30 years old. It's this natural thing where you get up earlier and earlier. And then when people are getting up, like you, if you have family members who are really old, you know, and they'll be like, well, I got up this morning at 4:00, and you're like, at that point, you're not getting up early in the morning. You're still getting up in the middle of the night. I've heard old people get up at 3 a.m. and start their day. It's like that is the middle of the night. You're not getting up early. It's still the middle of the night. So Joe Biden starts his day up, getting up early. Now, this is tough because there's probably a shift change here. You see the late night shift, the graveyard shift still working at the White House. And so he's up and about before shift change happens and the day staff comes in like at 6 or 7. So they have to swap out. You know, the staff has to swap out. And of course, it's a little bit difficult because you see the staff at the White House, normally they're just waiting on the president and relaying his orders and making sure that messages are passed on and he knows his schedule. But you see, it's tough in the Joe Biden White House because the staff also has to double as home health. They've got to make sure his pill box is filled. You know, he's got the big box and he's got, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And you got to fill it and it's got 3 spots for breakfast, lunch and supper. And you know, so he knows because he got all these pills to take. My gosh, he got all these pills, like a mountain of pills. And in fact, he has to have the extra big one because you got all these pills. And of course, the pills change by what his schedule is. If he got a light schedule that day, he might not take quite so many pills. But if they're going to roll him out in public and expect him to say a few words, they're going to be something extra. They're going to be something extra in there to get him going. So the poor White House staff, they got a tough time because they got their usual White House staff duties, but then now they're also home health care. So they've got to make sure that the pill box has been filled correctly. They got to double check. They check, double check the med list because heaven knows you don't want the president trying to do that. Ain't no telling what he's going to take. He might take his pills and then forget he took his pills. He might grab the lunch bundle of pills instead of the breakfast bundles of pills. So he's up and about. Early, the staff is doing their home health job, making sure the president getting his meds in order. It's a little too early to cook breakfast, but that's okay. The president does not mind that breakfast isn't getting cooked yet. This is his time of the day to sit down and read the newspaper. Now, they have to have a special newspaper printed up for the president because nobody reads newspapers anymore, except for whatever other octogenarians that are out there in the country. So they have to have a special newspaper printed up. They just print one newspaper. The particular paper he reads, they don't actually even print papers anymore, but they do it for the president. This is tough. You know how hard it is? You know, the president wants Dennis the Menace. He wants to read his Beetle Bailey in the morning. So they have to put all of this in this newspaper for the president. Because he goes to read Family Circus, Beetle Bailey, and Dennis the Menace, and whatever other funnies that are in there. So after reading the newspaper and his favorite funnies, while he's waiting for breakfast to be cooked, you know what time it is. Sudoku. That's right. Sudoku and crossword puzzles. Because the president, you see, is staying sharp. He's staying sharp. He's doing his Sudoku and crossword puzzles. So he's sitting there in his chair, working on Sudoku and crossword puzzles, waiting for breakfast to get ready. Now, at around 7 o'clock in the morning, as he's working on these things, very studiously at work, everybody else is actually starting to come to work. And they think, these spoiled youngins, they think they've got an easy, they think they have it hard. They're coming in early to work. And it's 7 o'clock. The president often likes to boast to his whining staff, these young kids in their 40s, because when you're an octogenarian, everybody is a kid. Like this man, 50 years old, and he's like, you kids today, you just don't know. These kids whining about coming in early, having to come to work early. I tell you what, I've been up for 3 hours. I finished my crossword puzzle before you even got out of bed, buddy, so don't be asking me. Don't be questioning whether I can do this job. The staff is coming in. Shift changes happen, so new home health care staff is now tending to things. Breakfast is starting to get cooked, and things are going smooth. However, this is the office of the President of the United States, and there could have been a crisis overnight because you're dealing with things all around the world. And you see, oftentimes, what happens is the president will never, he never, ever will remember to charge his flip phone. And because President Biden is constantly forgetting to charge up his flip phone, a lot of times nobody can get in touch with him. He's a sound sleeper. So people have been blowing up his phone all night. He don't even know it. You don't even know it because he will not charge his flip phone up. He will not charge his flip phone up until it's dead. And then people come in and they're like, Mr. President, there's been a crisis in Iraq and we've been trying to reach you all morning. He's like, nobody's trying to call me. And then they go over and they check his phone. Sir, this your phone is dead. That dang thing. So they have to charge his flip phone up. He's always forgetting to charge up the flip phone. And it's a tough deal. So they have to try to catch him up. They try to get him caught up. And they have a limited time to get the president up to speed to things. Not because there's important decisions to be made and there's documents for him to sign and orders for him to give. They got to get it done because come 8 o'clock, gun smoke comes on, buddy. Let me tell you what, and you do not want to be interfering with President Biden's gun smoke time. And don't even be saying, Mr. President, why are you watching this? You already know what happens. And he's like, no, I don't. I got to see what Marshall Dillon's going to do. He gotta watch the gun smoke and everybody's out. Like, he will have Secret Service remove. I don't care if you're the Secretary of State. Come 8 o'clock, everybody knows. See, Antony Blinken, he done went through the embarrassing thing of trying to overstay his welcome. He was trying to update him on the war in Ukraine. And that Volodymyr, whatever the hell, Zelensky is whining for more money. And he overstayed. It was 8:04. And, you know, the theme song, the opening theme song for Gunsmoke was playing. And Antony Blinken had the nerve to reach over and hit the mute button. And when that didn't get the president's attention, you know what he did? And people gasped. The home health care staff, a.k.a. the White House staff, gasped in horror when this happened. He turned off the closed captions because he hit the mute and it didn't work. Biden just kept sitting there watching this grin on his face. Watching Marshall Dillon whip that pistol out in the opening intro. Devin didn't even pay no mind. And Antony Blinken grabs a remote, turns off the closed captioning. Let me tell you, ain't nobody ever made that mistake again. He done went through the humiliating berating of interrupting gun smoke. Now, you may think, okay, it's an hour. It's no problem. They can just wait an hour. But you don't understand. Gun smoke runs all damn morning. One, boom, boom. They're like at least probably like three episodes. And of course, President Biden, he's listening to that and watching the closed captions. The White House staff, it drives them crazy because he won't even mute it during the commercials. You know how tough it is trying to fill the pillbox for lunchtime and you having to listen to, are you over 65? Are you on Medicare? And President Biden, they look over there, they got to watch him because President Biden over there, he taking down the phone number for the Medicare supplement plan. He's like, that sounds like a good deal. And he's over there trying to dial it. Thank goodness his flip phone is dead. He's trying to dial up the Medicare ads from in between gun smoke. Now, after, you know, there's work to be done. And after you get through the morning breakfast, taking his meds and gun smoke, it's time to get to work. Come on, Mr. President, you know, time to get him dressed, time to get him in the Oval Office, to get him going. We got meetings. We got meetings this morning. And the staff know, they know how these meetings are going to go. They all gather in the Oval Office. Things are very serious. I mean, the world is in crisis. The U.S. is at the center of it for some reason. And they sit around the Oval Office and they know what's coming, but they got to go through the formality. This is how you wind up with all these different random people, by the way, making their own decisions. So they start explaining to the president about what is going on in Syria right now. all kinds of things going on in Syria right now. And they lay out and tell him all of these things. And their sources say that the Russian position on this matter is such and such. And the Chinese have issued this four paragraph rambling thing about, you know, getting along and happiness and cooperating as equals in the world. And nobody really, even the young people, aren't really quite sure exactly what the Chinese are saying in this huge three, four paragraph roundabout way that the Chinese go about stating these things. It's like in the U.S., you have this crude version of diplomacy that's not diplomacy. And the Chinese way is this extreme opposite. And nobody really, I mean, it's this long rambling, we must cooperate as equals upon the world stage to further develop happiness and cooperation between nations as friendly members of the global community. President Biden's eyes are already glazed over before the meeting starts. You going to start reading that stuff? No. So they're trying to explain the situation in Syria, and everybody knows. And finally, he puts his hands on the table and he looks up and everybody stops speaking. They're fixing to hear from the president, where do we go on this issue that's going on right now, Syria? Everybody's hoping. They're holding their breath because everything hinges on what he is about to say. And when and President Biden looks up, takes a deep breath with a thoughtful expression on his face, and he says, "This is just like that one time I was telling Kennedy. You see, we had," and nobody even knows which Kennedy he's talking about. And it doesn't even matter because now everybody in the room knows where this is going. You were about to hear a 30-minute plus story. They are about to hear a 30-minute plus story about one time he told Kennedy. And again, nobody even knows which Kennedy he's talking about. They know the story. Believe you me, they know the story. He'd been in there almost 4 years. They have all heard this story. They have all heard this story multiple times. And they're not. And when the story is finally over, it ends with a humorous line that about, you know, having too many drinks and hookers, which makes people generally think he's talking about Ted Kennedy, but they're still not 100% sure. Now, everybody in the room, yeah, they've heard this 150 times, but now because he's finally, and they know where the story ends. And the good thing about knowing the story is they're able to pace and go, well, we got about 10 more minutes and this story's going to be over. And sometimes, see, the new people, like the interns, they think, well, maybe he's going to give us the abbreviated version of the story, and everybody else is smiling because they know what they're thinking. They were there. They're smiling and shaking their heads because they like, there is no abbreviated version of the story. There is the story. And you are going to hear the story, word for word, line for line. And when you get the finishing punchline story where he looks at you, And tells you that final line about hookers and too many drinks, everybody is now required to smile and chuckle and nod their heads like, wow, that we not only have never heard that before, that is really funny and insightful, President Biden. Now, you see, the rookies, the interns, the new hires, they don't, they're, before the meeting happens, the people that have been there while, they explain to them, keep your mouth shut. You don't know what's going on. You just watch and you learn. And this is done for good reason, because when the story's over, the new hires, the interns, they think now that means we're going back to the original question about what we're going to do in Syria. We've been sitting here listening to the story for 20, 30 minutes. Now we're going to get back to answering. But then no. You see, it's over now. See, that conversation is over. The story was the answer. And no, the story doesn't have a damn thing to do with what's going on in Syria. The story is over because, you see, now the president has to get up and go to the bathroom again. And he's recently become obsessed with this new channel he found on TV where they play game show reruns from the 70s and 80s. What? And so, yeah, they have to tell the new hires and interns, don't when the story, you keep your mouth shut. The last time somebody piped up and said, okay, Mr. President, I don't know what that had to do with anything, but what about the issue at hand? It didn't go well. We'll just say a lying dog-faced pony soldier was the least of what got hurled their way. And they understood. They understood after that. They didn't do that anymore. Now, as the meeting is wrapping up with obviously no answers, and everybody in their own departments just trying to figure out, well, what it is they want to do. And the interns are sitting there biting their lip, deciding whether or not this is normal and whether or not they really should just ignore what everybody warned them and open their mouths and say something. The doors fly open and Dr. Jill comes bustling in. See, Dr. Jill just got back from going to the beauty parlor. She had to get her hair done and her nails and all of that. Now, she wants to be called Dr. Jill. She doesn't want to be called the first lady. She's Dr. Jill. Of course, she has a PhD in education or some crap. She's not like a medical. She's not like a medical doctor, but she likes the ring of it. So she makes everybody in the White House call her and refer to her as Dr. Jill. Now, Dr. Jill comes bustling in. She's just fresh back from the from getting her hair done. She's back from the salon. You know, the president doesn't recognize her first, fresh from the salon, which leads to an awkward situation because he thinks she's someone else and starts calling her by some other woman's name, which makes for an uncomfortable, awkward end to today's meeting. But hey, there's game shows to watch. So the president has to leave now to take his break. And besides, it'll be lunchtime before too long. So the day is rolling on. You've got lunchtime pills to take. You got this game show rerun channel to watch. There's a lot of things. The president's schedule is very hectic. Now, on any given day, the president may be required to go hold a press conference, to go talk, to stand and answer questions or address the media. Now, on a good day, they're able to keep all questions out. He's just going to issue a statement and then they'll escort him off. And somebody has got to escort. And they got to try to be subtle about it. You can't just be obviously leading the old man around. But instructions, there are standing instructions amongst top members of the administration. If worst comes to worst, grab him by the arm and drag his old ass off stage before he can get off. Before he can get off on some tangent and start rambling about things. President Biden doesn't like press conferences. He doesn't. He will inevitably, when they bring him out for a press conference, you look on his face and there's a face of confusion and then a face of almost contempt for the media. You may say, well, why would that be? Because, you know, they're not exactly real hostile towards him. See, President Biden is confided. He the first couple of times, which is every day because he forgets the last time, they hold these press conferences and he leans over and he asks whichever staff member is nearby. Sometimes, unfortunately, is the guy who's just been contracted out to set up the microphone and get it working, get the teleprompter working. It doesn't matter. Whoever's nearby is getting asked. Who the hell are all these kids? You see, sometimes President Biden thinks he's addressing like a junior high class. This leads to embarrassing things because he'll start rambling off about some sort of junior high topic. Back when I was in junior high, let me tell you what. Skinny McPherson. Oh, let me tell you about Skinny McPherson. And the media had to sit and listen to a 30-minute story about Skinny McPherson. Now, one foolish journalist at one point in time tried to go find who the hell Skinny McPherson was, much to no avail. He doesn't like the idea that all these kids are in the room. One day, in frustration, a 40-something-year-old journalist woman stood up and hollered out her question she had been holding in. President Biden, surprised, looked up, looked at her, and then looked around in confusion and said, who's this whore? Who, look at her? Who let this whore in here? She looks like she just came in off the street. Thank goodness that press conference wasn't being held on C-SPAN. They were able to edit and cut that part out. Finally, things settled down a bit. and they're able to go ahead and they've come up with a new system because of the wonders of technology and video editing. Now, what they will often do is they will have the press people stand up and hold up their hand and ask the question before President Biden ever actually gets to the room. And each press person gets a lottery and they get their turn. So number two, they hold up their hand and they say, Mr. President, what about the situation in Syria? Mr. President, what about people who say they're concerned about your age and the idea that you're running for re-election? There ain't nobody else in the room. They're just White House staff in there. And they hold up and they ask their questions. Then when they bring President Biden, you got to have a system. They got to manage this guy. They bring President Biden out and he stands there and they put the earpiece in, make sure he's had his meds. And I say, Mr. President, point. And he holds his hands up and points. Now put your hand down. Mr. President, point. And he points. Now put your hand down. And they do this for however many number of questions have been asked previously. Okay, Mr. President, that's good. Now, go ahead and read the following statements. And they hand him the card, and he reads the statements out. And with the wonders of technology, they're able to splice and cut and put this together. And voila, you have a press conference ready to go for TV. Unfortunately, there's still some criticism. It's not always done right because you just have kids. You have all these kids in their 30s and 40s that are doing this editing work, and it doesn't always come out also smooth. One youngster actually had the nerve to suggest just using CGI and not having the president come out at all. That suggestion was quickly shot down because the president thought he was speaking about some sort of government agency. And he said, no, those are the people that killed Kennedy. I don't want them anywhere involved. I don't want the CGI in here. This is crazy talk. And that was the end. That was the end of that discussion. Now, after lunch and any harrowing press conferences, now we're getting into the middle of the afternoon. And you know what that means. It's nap time. President Biden has to have his nap. You can sit there and smirk and laugh. But if your ass was up at 4 o'clock in the morning, you'd want a nap at 3 too. President Biden got to have his afternoon nap. Now, if you think the nap is optional, you're out of your mind. You see, one time the staffs had a particularly busy schedule. And they were like, Mr. President, you're going to have to skip your nap time today. And they sat him down to meet with a foreign dignitary, the ambassador of a very important country. And you know what happened? 2 minutes in, he just nodded off. He just sitting there, just the ambassador's going on with the translator is there. And then the ambassador, he's not looking. He's looking down and reading the statement from his country. And the translator's standing there listening. And they're all going on. And we feel that the U.S. should be more even-handed in their treatment of the Palestinians and be more supportive of the two-state solution. And then all of a sudden, it's like... And they look up, and he doing that head bob. They're like, Mr. President, are you even listening? And the interpreter's standing there going like, am I supposed to say that? Am I supposed to actually interpret that? White House staff are standing there looking, darting back and forth with their eyes. You know, what the hell do we do? Because now he's drooling. He's drooling on his tie. He got drool coming down on his tie. Snoring. Ultimately, the White House staff had to just assure the ambassador, look, we will give him your statement later. In fact, what we're going to do is we're going to have somebody translate your statement from your country, okay? And we're going to have them put it in to the closed captioning during this afternoon's episodes of Leave It to Beaver. So while he's watching the Beaver, trust us, the president always has closed captioning on. And while he's watching Leave It to Beaver, he's actually going to be reading the statement from your country. We will take care of it. And thank you very much. Be sure and pass on the word to your president from your country that President Biden has heard the statement, and he will be getting back to you at some point in the future. inserting important information into the closed captioning of Leave It to Beaver has become a rather common White House tactic these days. Then, after nap time, the Beave comes on, and they stick this in there for the closed captioning. Sometimes, though, it doesn't work. Sometimes the president catches on to their chicanery, onto their tricks. And he's like, what the hell? The captions don't match. I remember this. This is when Wally was headed to the malt shop, and they're talking about some sort of trade deal. Somebody call the TV station, because somebody's got the wrong closed captioning on here. I don't want this crap. It's tough. So nobody appreciates the job of the White House staff. As you all know, the president's job is very important, and the president has to put in long hours, you know, and sometimes the president got to work late into the night. Things are no different for President Biden. But just recently, it was 7 o'clock, and they had the nerve to come in and tell him that he was going to have a last minute meeting. And he looked at him like they were crazy. It's 7 o'clock. I'm getting ready for bed. Everybody knows by 8 o'clock, it's time to be turning in. We got an early day tomorrow. I can't be up to all hours of the night, 8:30, 9? Are you out of your mind? But he soldiers through as best he can. Thankfully, he got his nap. As long as he got his nap, he'd good to 8 o'clock. After 8 o'clock, you rolling the dice. And depending on what's in that evening slot in the pillbox, you may just be out of luck. Because if the med routine for the evening meds are a certain combination, he's gonna be out. You can talk to your blue in the face and you're not getting any answers. Now, if it's something really important, see, what they have found that they can do, because, you see, they have to have the custom printed newspaper for the president to read in the morning, and they can go to the news outfit, the newspaper people, and they will actually, this is a clever thing they've discovered, they actually will put the clues as to the topic in the crossword or the Sudoku. So they put it in there, and while he's solving it, he's like, look at here. What's number five down? That's nuclear nonproliferation, Mr. President. Oh, yeah. Wait a minute. Hell, that shoots number six across all to hell. And so it goes. And such is a life. And such is the day in the life of President Biden of the U.S., From this, we understand, you know, there's a lot of criticism leveled to White House staff. You see, all these people are running around doing their own thing. There's no concerted, you know, single message being put out. But you just don't know how tough these people have it. You don't know how rough they have it. And then he announces on a spur of the moment that he absolutely, somebody had the nerve to bring up one day the question. Because all these people, the White House staff, they were sitting there thinking, you know, I got 1 year and 7 months left of this shit. And then I can go get that job at Goldman Sachs. I can do this. And then someone had the nerve to pipe up and say, you're going to be running again? And everybody gasped. Now, this could have been passed over. This could have been brushed aside. But the idiot brings us up with Dr. Jill in the room, who immediately thought about her free hair salon appointments that she gets at the White House. And Dr. Jill, before anybody can say anything, stop, Dr. Jill pipes up and screams, yes, of course he is. I've got to get my hair done. Jenny down in the boutique does a great job. I'm never going to find anybody like Jenny again. She makes me look 20 years younger. To which Biden mumbles, you still old. And thus the word got out. He's running for re-election. And the White House staff, they hold their heads down. Their heads go down. And they thinking, I can't do 4 more years of this. That spot at Goldman Sachs, that position I've been promised at Raytheon, you know what? I just don't know if it's worth. I just don't think I can do 4 more years of this. And as they all sit there with the same thought, with the blank stares, the blank looks on their face, and they all sit there, and everybody in the staff looking at each other without a word spoken, and they all know, because this guy over here, he's jockeying for that position. He's jockeying for that position with AstraZeneca. Everybody knows, each staff member is thinking the same thing, and they all stand there in silence, and they're all thinking the same thing. Can we do 4 more years of this to get these positions we're jockeying for, to get lined up? And as they all sit there in silence, suddenly the silence is broken as the president looks up and says, "Did I ever tell you about that one time when I was talking to Kennedy?" And thus ends another day in the life of Joe Biden. I hope you had some fun with today's show. This isn't something regular, but I've had fun with it. Something different besides just going through a news story. I hope you enjoyed it. I would say, let me know if you want to hear more shows, you know, more Daily Nationalists that are different like this. Let me know. But honestly, it probably doesn't matter, because it's just something I'm going to do from time to time, probably on a whim. I hope you enjoy your week. I hope you do check out all our great content on Radio Albion. My Parish of the Patriot show will be up tomorrow. Dr. Johnson will be on Wednesday and Thursday. Wednesday with Orthodox Nationalist, Thursday with his Daily Nationalist program. I'll be back on Friday after Thanksgiving. There's no holiday at Radio Albion. No rest for the weary. Well, I'll be back to wrap up your week on Friday after Thanksgiving with the final episode of the Daily Nationalist for this week. So I hope you have a good Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy the rest of your week. Keep the faith, and we'll see you next time.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.